All right, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call this Thursday, October 13th, 2016 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Ms. Spear, would you please call the roll?
Chairman Nelly.
Here.
Chairman Bulova.
Here.
Chair Randall.
Here.
Board Member Pissette.
Here.
Mayor Silverberg.
Here.
Mayor Parrish.
Here.
Mayor Strombrace.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Rochelle.
Here.
Senator Black.
Here.
Delegate Hugo. Delegate Minshew.
Here.
Ms. Hines.
Here.
Mr. Cole.
Here.
Mayor Foreman.
Here.
Ms. Cuervo.
Here.
Mr. Horsley.
Here.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Everyone wants to be here. No one wants to be at home watching the news. We have the minutes of the September 8th meeting set out in advance. Any questions, comments? Moved by Mr. Parrish.
Seconded
by Ms. Hines. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Audit presentation, Ms. Backman.
Mr. Chairman, if I may make a comment. First of all, let me thank the staff. I think we've got an outstanding staff. And I'll say that because the Finance Committee meeting of the 22nd of September, I think it was had a great deal of information, a great deal of issues, a great deal of work by our staff. And that meeting was actually relatively short because our membership of the Finance Committee had done their homework, and I want to thank each and every one of you for that because you made that Finance Committee work. In that Finance Committee meeting, there was some discussion of the audit, and our staff indicated that the audit was a clean audit, and that's all I'll say because we're going to hear that right now.
I was just going to ask if there are any questions. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, thank you for giving me just a few minutes, and I will try to make it only a few minutes. I think this is the first time I've actually had a chance to present to the full board. So I'm Michael Garber. I don't know if it's written on the agenda or not. Audit partner with PB Mayors. I have been doing the audit work for NVTA. We actually did it numerous years ago before we had our issue and snafu that we had to overcome, and then we're able to come back the last, I think this is our third year now since we've been up and running and been able to stay up and running, so we appreciate the opportunity to do that. I think everyone did receive the financial statements ahead of time with your board packet. Hopefully you've had a chance to at least look through those and look at the things that are important to you and things that you may have questions about. As the mayor stated, you do have a clean opinion, or otherwise known as an unmodified opinion on the financial statements. That is one of the two pages in there that's ours. Then in the very back of those financial statements, you also find an opinion on compliance and internal control. That is also an unmodified or clean opinion regarding those items as well. Sandwiched in between those opinions then is all the information that you're interested in, management's discussion and analysis, financial statements, balance sheet, income statement, things like that that you're very, very accustomed to looking at. I'm not going to go through those in detail. I don't think there's really that much to point out. You know how your funds are accumulating, and I know you're working hard to use those funds, so we know how much we have available for each of you to use. We do a lot of work with 30% fund, the 70% fund, to make sure that the funds that do come in are being dispersed correctly to the proper localities. So we feel comfortable that all that's been handled correctly. I know that's very dear to all of your all's hearts and your constituents as well. So, and of course, we only really have one debt issuance, and we haven't had any changes there, just normal payments with our one debt issuance that we had from 2 years ago. So, I'm not going to go through the footnotes. A lot of those footnotes are very similar to your organizations and your localities. Pension footnote, talking about cash, investments, things of that nature, capital assets. So there's really nothing new there or I think significant that I need to point out to you this time. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have, if you have any. If not, There's a second document I don't think did make it out to you ahead of time. It's a report to the authority board members. I did deliver several copies of this evening, and we also have it in PDF if you'd like to see that in PDF format. It just talks about our audit in general, the guidelines that we follow, if we had any audit entries, which we did not, if we had any past adjustments, which we did not, if we had any issues dealing with management, gathering information, things of that nature, which we did. So all those things are included in that document as well. There's a copy of the arrangement letter, and again, a copy of the representation letter that is signed by management and the audit. So those are what's in that document. I apologize for not getting that out to you ahead of time this evening, but I did want to let you know that that was out there.
It's clean audit. I don't care when you give it to me.
Yeah. I do, but yes.
Any questions, Mr. Garber? Thank you.
Great. Thank you all very much.
Do we need to take action on this of some type?
Not on the presentation, but it's under the consent agenda.
Okay. So the next item is the consent agenda. There are four items, including acceptance of the audit report. I think I heard a motion from Ms. Bullivant.
Second.
Seconded from Mr. Parrish. Any items, I guess I should have said it first, any items need to be pulled from the consent agenda? Hearing none, all in favor of the consent agenda?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Action items, adoption of the transportation projects reserve policy. Mayor Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. Again, I'll go back to the fact that the Finance Committee has taken this up. And in fact, the Finance Committee requested staff to research and report on the establishment of two reserve funds, the contingency fund as well as the transportation project reserve. We're going to take both of those up in items 9 and 10. And if I may, I'd like to ask Tom Shoddy to assist us with the first one, the adoption of the Transportation Projects Reserve Policy.
Thank you, Chairman Parrish. Tom Shoddy with Fairfax County's Department of Transportation. The Finance Committee, as Chairman Parrish has indicated, asked Monica Backman to review two different contingencies and to make recommendations on those two contingencies. Ms. Backman established a staff working group that included transportation and financial professionals from any of the member jurisdictions and agencies who wanted to participate. We did have a number of financial professionals as well as transportation planners from numerous jurisdictions participate in the discussions. Over a 6 to 8 month period, we discussed both of these reserves. The first reserve, the contingency reserve, was a proposal to establish a fund so that if there were any projects that had unexpected overruns, there would be money to transportation first. Yeah. Oh, okay, we can do transportation first. All right, so the transportation project reserve. That project reserve was established or considered at the request of the Finance Committee so that some funding might be set aside so that if there was a very large project that the authority wanted to fund, that there was some resources to be able to do that. This was before the I-66 discussion, but it was done with the intent that not every last dollar that the authority had would be allocated to projects up front, so that if a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, there was a project that the authority really wanted to fund, you would have some resources to do that if it was a major, regionally significant project. And so the idea was, should some pay-as-you-go money be set aside, the dollar that was discussed was about $100 million, for the possibility that there might be a large project to be funded in the future. The advisory panel did discuss this. We also looked at the material that PFM, your financial advisor, put together about the authority's long-term bonding capacity. Currently, the authority has about $1.8 billion worth of available bonding capacity. So instead of setting aside cash for this reserve, what we're recommending is that the authority actually carve out a portion of that $1.8 billion capacity so that if there is a future project that the authority would like to fund, you do have a resource to be able to do that. What that does is it allows you to spend the pay-as-you-go money on projects that need funding today, so you're not reserving a balance in cash, but you are reserving the ability that if that project does show up next year or some point in the future, you would have some resources to be able to address that. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Question, Ms. Michelle?
Do you have a motion if you accept that, Mr. Chairman?
Motion, I'm with Mrs. Parrish.
Okay, I move that the authority approval of the draft transportation projects reserve policy in the form approved by the Council of Councils.
I'll second
Mr.
that
Chairman,
motion.
Black. A question. We talked about retaining a portion of the debt capacity and that would essentially be our reserve. What portion of the debt capacity are we talking about?
Mr. Chairman, it would be the recommendation is for $100 million of the $1.8 billion that you would reserve and not issue debt up to the full $1.8 billion. You would reserve $100 million. For some future project that might require funding.
Mr. Chairman, it kind of strikes me, you know, we were talking about, you know, possibly retaining $100 million current funding so that we have that buffer. And now we're talking about not only moving through that $100 million, but moving through another $1.7 billion before we reach our reserve. I question whether that reserve is sufficient since we're, at that point, we're bumping right up against our debt capacity. And so I would just throw out whether perhaps $250 million might be more appropriate figure. Just as a
I didn't get the impression that we would have to burn through all of the rest of the capacity. But I guess in case we used up the rest of the capacity, you know, we would say we would not go into an additional $100 million. But it just means that we have the capacity. Doesn't mean we can't. How do I put it? So we can use debt service. We can use debt financing. And it doesn't mean that, you know, that isn't available to us until then. But it just means that we need to make sure that we don't burn through everything without leaving $100 million. Did that make sense?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we're talking about sort of our policy, not something that we're locking ourselves into from an accounting standpoint. We're not saying, I mean, we can go up right to the $1.8 billion, but when we're talking about the policy of a reserve, it just seems more appropriate that we not retain such a small sliver, just, you know, in our general thought process that we would probably want to have a larger amount of buffer there. And of course we can use that buffer too, but at least just as a matter of policy, we would retain that larger buffer.
Well, the verbiage in 4B says at least $100 million.
Yes, Mr. Longley, do you want to chime in on this?
Yes, sir. I think, Senator Black, to get to your point, this policy and this reserve level would be examined each year. So right now, of the $1.8, $200 million is committed for the 17 program. But it will take the authority, I would expect, some number of years to get to a point where this reserve level is actually within range of being used. Prudent, one of the things that we are working on is principles of sound financial policies, and that would probably call for I expect it will call for that reserve to kind of increase as more of the capacity is used. Also to take into consideration inflation and other things, because I suspect it'll be a good number of years before we hit that level.
If I could, I guess, let me suggest this. It feels like, you know, this may be one of these situations where what matters more is that we have a policy less than what's in the policy, because frankly, for us to get to a place where this policy becomes relevant, we would have to spend literally billions of dollars, and there isn't enough asphalt or enough railroad ties in the marketplace right now for us to buy to get to billions. We got enough projects to fund billions of dollars worth, but we don't have the construction capacity to do that, which I observed that I feel like by the time we got to a place where the question of exactly what the number is becomes relevant, we will have reevaluated this three or four times before we get there anyway. So right now it's more about establishing that we have a policy than it is about worrying about having to implement the policy. Is that make sense to everybody?
And Mr. Chairman, yeah. The other point is you're establishing the policy of putting it on the debt side as opposed to using pay-as-you-go.
Right.
Because the alternative would be to carve out $100 million in cash and just put it aside in the bank. And by doing this, you're saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to use this debt to protect that large project sometime in the future.
And I'll say, you know, since he's not in the room, I can talk about it. This was a question that Mr. York, when he was finance chair, was very concerned with. He liked the idea of having a cash reserve, and something he and I disagreed on a few times, because I don't like the idea of a cash reserve for our purposes, only because when people pay $106 instead of $105.3 when they buy something at Target, the big $100 purchase at Target, and they pay that extra 70 cents in taxes that comes to us, people expect those taxes to turn into projects. No one cuts a ribbon on a capital reserve fund. And what the citizens want is ribbon cuttings. You know, well, they don't really care about the ribbon cuttings. What they want is less congestion. But we have a ribbon cutting first. But the point is, it's projects that people, that the public cares about. And I don't want to ever be in a situation where we're saying to people, yeah, your taxes went up, but good news is we've got $100 million in the bank. That's not what I think the public wants. So. Mr. Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think that our bond council would have any heartburn with our establishing this reserve, but my question would be kind of technical. Is there a need for us to get a conditional anticipatory blessing from bond council on this before we adopt it, or are we good to go with it without bond council giving any blessing to it?
Mr. Chairman,
this policy is secondary to our debt policy. So we will meet all before this would be used. We would obviously meet all the covenants within our debt policy and currently our single issuance.
So there's no way, Mr. Chairman, this can be read by a cynical bond counsel as being some disparagement to the existing bond indentures.
Mr. Chairman, just if I may,
please.
Thank you. I can understand why Senator Black has the question that he has, because we just approved a project for $300 million. And I get that. I understand it completely. But it'll take a lot of years before we get close to, because of our forecasted debt service coverage, we get close to anything like the numbers of dollars that we have available to us for debt. And so I think setting the policy here sets a good balance for an amount, and it creates that policy that we can continue to look at.
It sounds, now that I understand the question a little bit better, it sounds like there wouldn't be a problem with having a higher capacity set aside. And perhaps the Finance Committee might want to go back and consider, you know, what a higher amount could be. And, you know, I'm not suggesting that we not move forward with this, because essentially, you know, we're suggesting that, you know, that our, you know, reserve actually comes from capacity, bond capacity. But as far as rethinking, you know, is $100 million really our figure, or do we want to you know, account for more. Why don't we maybe take a look at that question?
Mr. Chairman, that really gets to what I'm talking about. I understand and agree with the idea that we spend our current income. But when we talk about how much of the debt capacity we use, the idea of setting a target that is a little bit more conservative, you know, if we run it right out to the, you know, $100 million is not big money in roadway construction.
Whoever thought we'd be using that for just $100 million.
That's right. but it just seems like a larger buffer would be more appropriate. That's my only point as a matter of policy.
I think the Finance Committee would be pleased to take it up and have that discussion. I would urge the passage of the policy tonight, and we'd be glad to take it up.
With that, I think we'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Excellent. Let's go on to
Mr. Chairman, the second reserve that the advisory group was asked to look at is a contingency reserve. And the purpose of the contingency reserve, if one were to be established, was to allow that projects funded by the authority would be completed. So if you funded a road widening project and people thought it was going to cost $50 million and there was something unexpected that came up and it actually was going to cost $60 million, that there would be some money set aside that the authority could allow the project to be completed. The advisory group discussed this one actually much greater length than the transportation reserve that you just discussed. The issue here is that two things. One, as proposers of projects, there is a responsibility to ensure that there's adequate reserves included in the project budgets. And by setting aside a reserve at the authority, it kind of shifts some of the risk from the people who are proposing, the jurisdictions or agencies that are proposing projects, to the authority saying, well, the authority will take care of you if you didn't budget correctly for your project. And while there are always unexpected circumstances that could arise, there's already a policy in place that allows people to come back to the executive director and ask for consideration of additional funding. Those considerations do go through the ranking process that you, the 599 process. And so it's not that somebody couldn't get more money from the authority, but they should go through the process with everyone else. Because one of the parameters that the authority is required to look at is congestion reduction relative to cost, we also didn't want to put an incentive aside to have people lowball their costs, because that would have them score higher and then they just come back and ask for contingency money later on if they didn't get their number right. So for all those reasons, in the end, we are not recommending that you establish this fund or continue this fund, and that ultimately it is the responsibility of the agency or jurisdiction that requests the money to ensure that they request the right amount of money. If it's one of the jurisdictions, they also have the resource of their 30% money that they could use to make up a difference if there is something unexpected that comes up. In the worst case, they can come back to the authority, ask for additional money, go through the ranking process, and if the authority chooses to fund that, then they can get the money that way. So I'd be happy to answer any questions about the contingency reserve.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I move authority approval of the elimination of the contingency reserve in the Regional Revenue Fund as recommended by the NBTA Advisory Panel and reviewed by the NBTA Finance Committee.
Second for Mr. Black. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 11 is the approval of the legislative services contract, and I'm going to look to the COC. This is not ready for prime time yet.
No, we still have some issues we have to resolve.
Now let's just move on to item 12. There you go. I can tell you now I'm not going to vote on tonight, so we'll have a discussion. All right, number 12, the smart scale endorsements. Ms. Backman.
Mr. Chairman, we have received 16 project requests from localities and agencies regarding endorsements for smart scale. The authority as a regional entity can submit projects for the evaluation for the smart scale process, formerly known as the HB2 prioritization process. Projects in Northern Virginia within a corridor of statewide significance must have a resolution of support from the authority as the regional entity for Northern Virginia to be considered for the smart scale prioritization process. Public transit agencies are required to have a resolution of support from the authority or a local government for the projects located in the regional network to be eligible for the smart scale evaluation. The deadline, even though the deadline for the applications themselves, I think, was last Friday, the deadline for the resolution is actually December 1. So in your package, you will see the draft resolution, which is inclusive of all of the project requests that we received.
Any questions for staff on this? I have one. Mr. Allen, does this give you what you, does this fix the problem we talked about the other day?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Question, Senator, there are a couple other smart scale projects that may be out there. Can we come back later and add them?
You can. That's one of the reasons why I put this on the October agenda, just in case there were some additional actions that you could have the November meeting to also add additional projects, because your December meeting is after the resolution deadline.
Okay.
Thanks.
Is there a
motion? Second. Motion, Ms. Hines, second by Mr. Minshew. All in favor?
One more question.
Oh, please.
The answer to the question I'm going to ask is yes, though I know that the Southern Corners Ring Road Fairfax County project is there, and I'm assuming that Fairfax County is working closely with Falls Church on that. The answer is yes, right? Thanks.
I'm looking for a motion on item 12 and direction to Mr. Bishotti to work closely with the City of Falls Church. Is there a motion?
Yeah, we have a motion.
We need to discuss before the motion. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, finally, last action item of the evening, the appointment of a vice chairman. I'll look to our nominating committee, Mr. Perry.
Okay, thank you. As everyone knows, and let me go back to last month's meeting. Thank you all for having that discussion. I was not in attendance. I apologize for that. I had other commitments. There has been discussion among Ms. Chairman Bulva and myself and others as well. And I'd like to put in, I'd like to nominate Chairman Phyllis Randall as our vice chairman.
Second by Ms. Silver. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The motion carries. Congratulations. Discussion information items. Ms. Backman, anything we need to know?
I do want to draw your attention to the fall public engagement activities for the update of transaction. This past spring, we had some public engagement activities. We had some workshops and pop-up events throughout the region. So we're beginning the undertaking of our fall round of public engagement. And during this, we're going to have an online survey. And I do want to add the fall round of public engagement is really geared towards understanding citizens' input regarding the prioritization process. So we're going to have an online survey, focus groups, and we have a workshop scheduled with members of the business community and other stakeholders. That workshop is actually scheduled for October the 25th. And if you can recall, around this time last year, we did a benchmark survey with a sample size of citizens throughout the region, really to gauge the authority's presence in the region and what we could do better. We will be undertaking that again to see if we move the needle in any shape, form, or fashion. And again, we will continue to come to the authority with updates on transaction, which is scheduled for adoption around this time next year.
Fantastic. Ms. Parrish, anything else on finance?
We're moving right along. If I may, just ask Mr. Longy to assist us with something just a little bit. With regard to the 2017 project program, the committee met. We had a pretty good discussion with regard to what's taking place, what we expect to take place in the FY 2017 project program. And there's some interesting things in it, and I'll ask Mr. Longy to assist us with that.
Thank you. The quickest way to recap this would be to ask everybody to look at the graph on the second page of the staff report. And you see on there, hopefully the color is consistent across all copies. The blue line is the annual revenue over that period of time. The gold line is the expected reimbursements. And the purplish line is the cumulative year-end net cash positions. What we've mapped out is when our cash positions and the expenditures touch is the latter part of FY18, which this results in the fact that we don't need to issue bonds based on the information we have now until the latter part of fiscal 18. The best way to save money on a debt issuance is to not issue the debt. So each year, we can defer that and use our cash reserves. We save $14.7 million. We're also working with our financial advisor. We anticipate that this junction point that I described is going to move to the right. So that will give us more planning time, more time to meet the IRS spend down regulations, which was on your consent agenda this evening. And with that, we will probably have an update for the Finance Committee in January once the standard of project agreements for the 17 program are in. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Long? Thanks, sir. Planning and Programming Committee report, it's included. We talked a lot. There's a written report. We talked a lot about transaction and sort of the time frame over the next year. Won't bother taking a lot of time on that. PCAC report, Mayor Foreman, anything to report this time?
Thank you for finally giving the PCAC some to chew into. This committee has spent the last year forming and storming, last 2 years, and now we're, if you have members that are on or tasked with being on the PCAC, if you could just turn to the second page of the report, paragraph 5, members received a briefing on candidate performance measures to be used in the evaluation of projects and packages of projects for the transaction. The committee plans to discuss this topic in more detail and take action to provide recommendations in its October meeting. What's essential is we're looking at the grading criteria and we're comparing those across the board. And I've got to thank Mr. Jasper and Ms. Backman on preparing. We had an outstanding meeting, and they actually walked out of their homework. So this is good, this next one. So if you have folks assigned, and we had a good showing, we had 7, so we had our quorum, and it was good conversation. But if you have folks assigned, this next meeting is probably the one to be at, because we're talking about the grading criteria. And then we're giving that back to the executive director, and off she will report it back to here. So thank you, sir. This is really good.
Thank you, Mr. Foreman. Mr. Boyce here tonight. Is that from everything from the technical advisory committee?
The report is in your packet.
Mr. Long, do you have anything else for us?
Nothing to add to the written report.
Ms. Backman.
Mr. Chairman, I don't skip finance. I don't know if that was.
No, he pulled.
Well, there were a couple of
things. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'd be glad to come back. I'm sorry.
Fill everyone in just a little bit. The committee discussed a lot of things, and many of which have either we've taken action on a consent agenda or action tonight on the other items. But, of course, we discussed the FY 2016 financial statement audit, which we heard about previously. Sorry, everyone. Call that council member back as I leave. And of course, the investment program, we did talk about an investment program, and we're going to take that up as a finance committee item. Upcoming review and revenue estimates for the 2018 through 2024 fiscal years, and initial presentation of the FY 2018 budgets, which we're going to be taking up and, of course, bring back to the authority. And we'd like to, and we will be drafting a set of financial principles for future consideration of the authority. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Now is back when you get to do
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Briefly, as was noted at your September meeting, the authority is presenting to the Joint Commission on Transportation Accountability next week, Wednesday, October the 19th at 10 a.m. We are required to report to this committee annually on how we expend our revenues, so we have been asked to give a physical presentation. Also, October 20th, the next day, during the Governor's Transportation Conference, the authority is hosting a breakout session during the conference. Our title is Northern Virginia Transportation Authority, Investing Wisely, Delivering Results, so please stop by during. I think it's a loop, if you will. We're going to give the same presentation three times, so please come during one of the three presentations. And lastly, I would like to say go Cubs. I know a lot.
Whoa! Where'd that come from? From the floor, we can't have any more of that.
Go who?
When do we do the personnel review? Not to December, but you're on the
committee. While we are Nats fans, it is understandable how the Cubs fans feel. But I, speaking as a Nats fan, I have to admit, this long-suffering Cubs fan, so... But at the end of the day, I'm ready for the Nats.
Mr. Mendez, we need to refer this to the government and personnel.
No, absolutely not.
Let me just say, in Ms. Backman's defense, is that as courageous as it was to say to this group of people that she's a Cubs supporter, she's
great.
From Chicago, and she grew up in a White Sox neighborhood and a White Sox family. So having courage about her Cubs is a long-standing tradition for her. Right?
To put this in front of the Ethics Committee.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Chair Scott, the only thing I've got, only thing I want to share is our next meeting is November 10th. And I hope it's not a problem. It dawns on me now that that is 2 days after the election and the night before Veterans Day. And given that we got a room that's largely full of politicians, some of us jump on airplanes after elections.
Marine Corps birthday.
Ooh, wow. Hoorah.
This is serious.
Hoorah. So I guess the point is... If upon examining your calendars, you discover November 10th is going to be a problem, let us know quickly. So, because if it's a problem for anyone other than Sharon, I'm not real worried about it. Sharon, if you're going to have a problem with November 10th.
Because then there's no quorum.
I know one, two people are on the ballot on November 8th, correct?
Is it two?
Yeah. Manassas Park and Manassas on the ballot.
Okay. So do you want to decide now?
I mean, no, I think we're okay. I mean, does anyone anticipate a problem?
It's on my schedule.
Okay.
Thankfully. It's the Marine Corps birthday, so I might be a little
worried. We're going to change it. I'd rather do it now, though.
I don't think I'm hearing about a problem.
No.
Okay, that's fine. With that, is there any other item, any other business that's come before the authority this evening?
Mr. Chairman.
Please, Mr. Chairman.
I lauded the Finance Committee, and I will just urge you all to make sure that on your calendar is October 27th at 2 o'clock.
Yep.
October 27th, 2 o'clock, Finance Committee, our next meeting. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
I have one question.
Please.
On the 20th of October, we have a board meeting. It'll be from the department that's from the governor's transportation. Do you think we should probably send staff or somebody else to this? Is that what...
The Governor's Transportation Conference?
Yeah.
Ms. Backman and I will be there pretty much the entire time.
Okay.
For the three.
So the 27th actually is it?
No.
No, I'm asking for the pair starts the next week. Sorry, I know you went on, but I was like, don't want that. Because that's not on my...
The Governor's Transportation Conference runs from next Wednesday afternoon to Friday midday.
Yeah.
And we'll one or the other of us will be there most of the time. Probably, you got to go what first thing Thursday morning, so I'm not getting up that early.
Which one was the event you said try to attend? You'll be running something three
times. Oh, it's the breakout session. It's the afternoon of Thursday, October the 20th. It starts at 2:30, and I think it ends at 4:45.
Well, that was supposed to be the one time, 12 to 1:30, is that right?
Yeah,
lunch. Okay, so we're going to lunch. Okay, that's what I thought.
It's not really a drop-in. I mean,
you have to pre-register.
have to register. So people should do that, right?
Yeah.
Right, Helen, right?
Yeah.
People do need to register.
Yeah.
There is a small cost associated with it. So.
To this end, if it hasn't been done already, we should post the Governor's Transportation Conference as a meeting at which more than two members may be in attendance where MBTA matters are discussed, so that we don't have to kick anyone out of the breakout session.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Anything else to come before the authority this evening? Wow. Hearing none, first pitch is in 11 minutes.
You're welcome.